Library of Adventure, featuring the great adventures of yesterday, dramatized for the boys and girls of today. Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar. Chapter 13 of the story adapted from the novel by Jules Verne. At a day's march from Kolyvan, there stretches a great plain, bare except for occasional clumps of pines and cedars, and used in normal times by the Siberian shepherds to pasture their flocks. But now there stood on this plain the Tatar tents of Feofar Khan's great army, and in the center of the camp, pitched in a shady grove, the tent of the terrible Emir of Bukhara himself. Draped in brilliant silks, looped with golden cords, surrounded with waving plumes, this tent was the heart of all the mighty encampment. Before it, on a table curiously wrought in wood and precious stones, lay the sacred book of the Quran, and above it floated the Tatar flag, quartered with the Emir's arms. In a semicircle around the tent stood those of the great functionaries of Bukhara, the chief of the stables, the bearer of the royal seal, the grand master of the artillery, the chiefs of the council, the leader of the priests, and the chief astrologer. When the prisoners were brought into the camp, the great Emir sat within his tent, and no man saw him, for silence and isolation constitute the majesty of an Eastern king. But in the huge prison compound, guarded by the Tatar soldiers, all was confusion and loss. Singly and in groups, the prisoners mourned their capture, for naught but starvation, thirst, and death could lie before them now.
Mr. Blunt! Mr. Blunt!
Oh, we can rest now?
Yes. We are in the prison compound.
But how did I get here? I remember staggering along that terrible road and then nothing.
You were not far from this place when you finally collapsed.
You carried me?
In a manner of speaking, yes, Mr. Blunt. Now rest quietly while I take your coat off. Yes, a mere scratch, Mr. Blunt. Your shoulder was grazed by the shot. After two or three dressings, you will be perfectly well again.
Dressings? Is there a hospital nearby?
I will make them myself. All Frenchmen are something of doctors. My handkerchief? So. And so. I have water here. I brought it from the small well in the center of the compound.
Water?
I shall treat you with water. This liquid is the most efficacious sedative known for the treatment of wounds. Doctors have taken some 6,000 years to discover that. Amazing, is it not?
Thank you, Monsieur Jolivet. You have been very kind.
Oh, bah, it is a mere nothing. You would have done the same for me. But you must not talk. Rest is absolutely necessary for you.
Monsieur Jolivet, do you think that our last dispatches have been able to pass the Russian frontier?
Why not? By this time, you may be sure that my beloved cousin knows all about the affair at Kolyvan.
And what will your cousin think about these affairs in Russia?
Well, she's a very discreet person, but I imagine that she will think they seem in a very bad way. But the Muscovite government is powerful. It cannot really be uneasy at this invasion by barbarians. And Siberia will not be lost.
Too much ambition has lost the greatest empire.
Oh, do not let us talk politics. Nothing could be worse for wounds in the shoulder. Unless it was to put you to sleep.
Well then, let us talk of what we ought to do. Monsieur Jolivet, I have no intention at all of remaining prisoner to the Tatars.
Nor have I.
We will escape at the first opportunity?
Yes, if there's no other way of regaining our liberty.
You think there is some other way?
Yes. We are not belligerents. We are neutrals. And as such may claim our freedom.
From Feofar Khan?
No, he would not understand. Let us appeal to his lieutenant, Colonel Ogareff.
He is as great a barbarian.
Doubtless, but he is a Russian barbarian. There is some slight difference. He knows that it does not do to trifle with the rights of men, And he has no interest in retaining us. In fact, it would be to his advantage to set us free.
There's something in that. But he isn't in the camp as far as we know.
He will come. He will not fail in that. He must join the Emir. Siberia is cut in half from south to north. And I should imagine that the Emir will wait for him before they make the next move. West toward Moscow or east towards Irkutsk.
There's sense in that. Once free, we can follow the Tatars and join the first Russian detachment we meet.
That is the plan. Why, you have already been wounded for the telegraph, whilst I have suffered nothing for my dear cousin.
You saved my life.
Had I not done so, my cousin would have been inconsolable. Now, Mr. Blunt, you must try and rest.
I shall, Monsieur Jolivet.
Excellent, Mr. Blunt.
Here, brother, let me help you.
Water.
Here is water. Drink.
Thank you. Why, I know you. Nicholas Korpanov, the merchant, who was going to Irkutsk.
Not so loudly.
They caught you at the telegraph station, then?
Yes.
They found me also as they scoured the banks of the river for survivors of the first battle. I told you I would weather the storm. As soon as my wound is healed, I shall escape.
Have you any news of Omsk? Is Colonel Ogarev still in the city?
He was unable to raise the upper portion of the city. Governor and a small detachment still holds out there.
I wonder if he'll wait until the city has been completely reduced.
Who can tell? I doubt it. A small force can besiege the garrison. The remainder will be free to rejoin the Emir.
That is what I fear.
Fear? What does it matter to us? We'll be fed on the half-cooked entrails of goats, or kumis if we're more fortunate. In any case, we'll starve before we die. But I won't. As soon as my leg is healed, I escape.
I wish you success.
Listen to me, Nicholas Korpanov. You want to reach Irkutsk. I want to get out of here and kill a few Tatars. Let's join forces, eh? You help me, and I'll help you. I've been watching the guards and the camp routine. I think we can escape.
No. I must wait.
What for? Death?
They'll be marching us on towards Tomsk soon. And Tomsk is on the way to Irkutsk.
Haven't you ever seen how the Tatars march prisoners, brother? No water. Precious little food. The knouts, the burning sun on a bare road. I'd rather take my chances and escape.
No, I dare not attempt it. My chance of reaching Irkutsk depends solely on the concealment of my mission. I shall stay here with the other prisoners and march when they march. If you're still here when that happens, I shall help you.
All right, then. If you won't, you won't.
I shall bring you water when you need it. Good luck.
Monsieur Jolivet, thanks to you, my shoulder is almost quite healed. Now I'm really concerned with getting out of here.
Well, I am weary. I've had quite a busy day. I'm not used to digging graves with primitive tools. In fact, I'm not used to digging graves.
How many today?
14. War is an unpleasant business, is it not? Most of these people have nothing to do with the war. They've been caught up in it without understanding what lies behind it. 100,000 Tatars ride out for conquest, and 1 million people suffer. Ah, there's something wrong there. The account does not balance. Well, our job is to report it, not to regret it.
Any news from Omsk?
None. I wish Ivan Ogarev would come and join forces with the Emir. Then we can seek audience and explain our position.
While you were otherwise engaged this afternoon, Monsieur Jolivet, I tested my strength in a walk round the compound.
Excellent, Mr. Blunt.
Our friend Mr. Korpanov is also in this compound.
He is?
He is. I saw him talking to a wounded prisoner. I waited in the hope that he might notice me. Eventually, he did.
And then?
He acted as if he'd never seen me before in his life. He cut me completely. Completely. And then he turned away and moved to the far side of the compound. I had no particular wish to force my company. It was merely intended to be a friendly gesture.
My fault in part, Mr. Blunt. In the telegraph office at Kolivan, just as you fell unconscious, Mr. Korpanov asked me not to recognize him in the event of our capture.
Oh, so that explains it. I wish I knew how he fits into this situation. Why is he going to Irkutsk? Furthermore, why is he so determined to get there?
I do not know. Meanwhile, we have our own troubles, Mr. Blunt.
Indeed, Monsieur Jolivet, we have.
Four days in this accursed camp. If I can only get to Tomsk. Once beyond the outpost there, and with 12 hours start on Feofar and Ogareff, I can race them to Irkutsk. If Ogareff comes to this camp, I'm finished. He'll seek me out. Or one of his officers will recognize me. Yeah, but I must take the chance. There's no other way. To attempt escape and be caught would be equally fatal. Pray that Ogareff remains in Omsk. Pray that Ogareff remains in Omsk.
Well, at least we have our notebooks, Monsieur Jolivet. What is the date?
The 12th of August.
The 12th of August. My next dispatch to the Telegraph will be of great interest to its readers. I imagine that few of them have been in Russia, and that fewer still have had the opportunity of witnessing an assemblage of 50,000 Tatars.
Turkomans, Tajiks, Uzbeks, Mongols, Arabs, Afghans, Kalmuks. Half the tribes of the earth gathered under one fierce banner, Mr. Blunt. Every one of them a cruel and vigorous fighting man who will neither ask nor give quarter. How can the Russians hope to drive them back?
They will, we hope.
Huh. And what was that?
Ah, the advance guard of another army approaching from Omsk. Is it Ivan Ogareff, I wonder?
Mr. Blunt, we are about to witness the meeting of Fairfor Khan and his most able lieutenant. You were quite correct. It is Ivan Ogareff.
So the thing most dreaded by Michael Strogoff has come to pass. The traitor Ogareff has come to join his master, and with him to plan the conquest of all Siberia, including the city of Irkutsk. Will Michael be recognized? Is this the end of his desperate mission on behalf of the Tsar? Listen again when next we present Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar.